This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
You know how
you're
we
right,
do.
Sir?
I'm good. I'm all right. Hour number two, it's Barton Hahn. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless, a nationwide 5G and America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Get the single off me, please, because Bart had me.
We just communicating through music.
That's all we've been doing is just playing songs. But
Flying Spirit, let ride. What time it is?
You're gonna just have to take it from here because I can't compose myself. I'm like sweating. I was laughing so hard. That was a fun break.
Just because we like each other, we do have a good time.
But it's things we can't share.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is like
sorry, inside joke.
It's just inside.
Only
joke.
Like Tavius.
Everybody else is like, "What? What's so funny? We can't tell you."
The break itself is it's his own show.
The break should be its own show, but it can't be on Disney.
We call it Uncut Gems.
It's an HBO Max vehicle.
Disney After Dark.
Yeah,
you'd be like BET Uncut. I need a tip drill.
Right. I'm trying to compose myself. Stop making me laugh.
Okay.
How about this from a couple of days ago? So the Niners and the Broncos. So the Broncos are playing home again.
Yes.
They host the Niners. Now they get that win over the Texans, but how'd that
Barely.
Look to you?
Yeah.
How'd that game look to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Russell Wilson getting booed at home.
That is one thing. Now, with that in mind, Russell Wilson in his new city, in his new place, it hasn't really been the best reception, right? How about when Chad Brown was on with us, former linebacker who was on in Denver on 104.3 The Fan. He revealed something to us that really caught our attention about Russell Wilson in Denver and kind of part of his deal.
Well, let's not forget, Russell Wilson has an office in the building. So he may call Nathaniel Hackett to his office. How about that power dynamic? Russell Wilson has a team. He's got his own private quarterback coach who's in the building. He's got his own nutritionist who's in the building. He's got his own body guy who's in the building. So Russell Wilson and his team, I'm sure, will have some kind of conversations, whether it's with Coach Hackett or with George Payton, the GM. Those conversations will be had. Hey, you brought me here. In fact, I left my previous situation because the coach didn't give me what I wanted. Now I'm here, and the same thing is happening where I'm not getting what I wanted.
Or did the previous coach get tired of his diva ways, acting like he's a entertainer and not an athlete?
Let's just begin with a reset on that in case, you know, just so everybody can understand. Let's mark it all down. Number one, Russell Wilson has his own office.
Not a locker.
His own office in the facility in Denver.
What is he doing?
He has his own team of his quarterback coach.
Yep.
He has trainers.
Masseuses, a whole thing. When they say body guy, that means like your ART or your masseuse. Usually you have to see them at home.
Right.
Basically, they're saying that Russell has his whole team at the facility with him
on the payroll, or they just have access.
Probably on the payroll. Because that's usually what people do. Like, remember, what's the TB12 guy? They had their own store.
Guerrero.
Guerrero. Mm-hmm. And he saw other players there. Mm-hmm. Remember, Antonio Brown still owes them money.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But this is the thing. And just so you can understand, I played in the NFL for 11 years. I've never seen a player have an office. Guess what?
Office.
Yeah, because guess what? We have our quarterback's room if you want to go watch film and break down film. Office suggests to me, when I hear office, nameplate. Like, and this is usually, if it's an office, it's by the management, not by the players. Office means that he has a desk.
Where else you putting
computer.
An office? Well, where else would an office be? Right. It's not going to be in the locker room.
Right, so it's like a desk.
By the coaches, probably?
There's like a desk.
Yeah.
That
phone.
Means phone, computer.
Ficus.
Water, like a jar of Skittles.
Probably got like a view of the field.
Jar of Skittles.
Skittles or some type of candy on there too. Yeah. Hey, Bart, hey, come
picture,
sit down.
Picture of the kids and CeCe.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Wisconsin helmet. Like, that's not normal. Like, because now that just says that he's separating himself. Like, he's better than every. So, like, I feel like, do I want to confide in him? Is he telling the upper office the little qualms and queries that I have against, like the coach did this? I'm worried if he up there dry snitching and telling on me to the coaching staff, because he's more of them than he is of me.
It's interesting now. Is this something that he's been throughout his career? Listen to what Richard Sherman and KJ Wright, his former teammates in Seattle, were talking about on the Richard Sherman podcast when it came to Russ and how, you know, again, just treated differently when he played in Seattle.
He was not held to the same accountability as the rest of us. You bashing the defense. I need you to at least mention his name in the team meeting room.
But there wasn't enough years difference for the accountability thing to be like that. Well, he was young. It's like, well, he was a year younger than us. Like, he ain't that young. When you got 52 guys being held to a certain standard, you got one guy not being held to a standard, then it's going to cause some friction. After a while, it had to get to the point where he chose Russ or the defense. And after the Super Bowl loss, he kind of made it pretty clear who he was choosing. And then you hear the truth from Pete for the first time, you know, after Coach, the game.
Coach Carroll is funny.
He is funny.
He is funny. You went 10 years keeping everything tight in the locker room. Let's keep it tight. As soon as this man leaves, you let it all air out.
Well, I guess you only protect the team when you own the team, kid.
I mean, really interesting stuff. That now, again, Richard Sherman has always been pretty, you know, pretty unfiltered about Russell Wilson. But it like there were times I felt like Russell Wilson was unfairly picked on a lot of times because, I mean, you know, he easy seems target. Like a nice guy. He's not
seems
a very
like
aggressive.
The like, see, yeah. He's an easy target.
Yeah, I mean,
But it sounds to me like he has a lot of diva tendencies where he may seem like a cornball, but he's up there using his power and his influence to his will, to will things the way he wants.
Oh, yeah, it's
the
nice guy that kind of like smiles at you while.
Yeah, I need him out of here.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I'm tired of this Legion of Boom stuff. Like it's either me or them, and it's it.
You know, do you still go back?
You saw Earl Thomas, and that relationship got really bad before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about Cam Chancellor, that got really bad. Then even you know Richard Sherman, it got really really bad. Like at the end of their careers, where they almost wanted out, and then they totally gave it over to Russ, and it became Russ' team.
Is this going to be a problem in Denver? Because they're already a mess because their head coach is not really a head coach. Nathaniel Hackett is really in the struggle for 2 weeks and he looks overwhelmed. But you also don't feel like who is in charge and how will his new teammates look at him if this is how things are being carried out.
So, different because when you look at remember what Richard Sherman said. It's not like he was that much younger than us.
Oh, I see.
He was only a year younger than us.
They were coddling him when he was younger. Right.
Now Russell is older, so it's easy it could be different rules for like Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers than it is the other people because he's so much farther, more accomplished than them. So that's why Russell, I think, left because he wanted to be like, okay, I'm above them. He's closer to management. It's kind of like Aaron Rodgers. He's closer to being able to go talk to the head coach and the general manager than he is to go talk
to
Aaron Jones.
Actually, they probably have to ask to talk to Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You bring up those two names, though, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, right? And he's closer to Aaron Rodgers than he is Brady. I've never seen Brady. For all the things that Brady has done, and
that's the magic.
It's amazing that it seems like everybody he's ever played with loves him.
And that's what Nico said on Get Up today. He said Tom would like, you know, on Fridays, everybody knows Tom's eating avocado ice cream and cucumber sandwiches and stuff like that. But he said Tom will come in on Friday, grab a piece of pizza, and take a bite. And everybody, Tom got a piece of pizza. I ain't been a piece of pizza. You know what I'm saying? But also, he also said, hey, why don't you come over here and work with my guy? Right? It wasn't like, oh, I got my guy. I do my own thing.
Yeah.
He was trying to teach them how to take care of their body, how to be involved with it.
More securing himself.
Right. We had Grunk in the TB12 method and all the other guys he had on the TB12 method that wanted to get on it so they can figure out the secrets. And that's what Nico said. He said Tom made you feel like he wasn't above you, even though we know he talked about a power couple. He's married to Giselle.
Yeah.
Like I appreciate you, Sierra, but come on, you can't hold Giselle's tea as far as her power and influence globally.
In her industry.
Right, and where Tom is and where the doors that Tom has access to, but yet Tom acts like one of the guys. Hell, he got Antonio Brown living with him.
Mm-hmm. It's true. All that. And even when it blew up, he still handled it.
Right.
Like you didn't see it become drama. It's just Brady just tried to take the high road and all right, we move on.
He got him a job twice.
Yeah.
I'm talking about he lived with him in New England, then brought him down, then demanded. And you know Bruce Arians couldn't stand Antonio Brown because he saw the whole stick in Pittsburgh where Bruce Arians was.
But why is it with Russ, and this really does now make me think back again to the Super Bowl loss to the Patriots.
And him trying to throw the ball to maybe get the MVP instead of giving it to Beast Mode to get MVP.
And Marshawn's never really said, right? He's never really said much about this. And I'm curious to see if he does ever eventually start to come out. But just getting back to, again, it's the Broncos. There was a great expectation with him going there. They paid a ton of money to get him there. They have a good roster. They're playing a good Niners team that now has Jimmy G, you know, running things where you feel like they're, all right, maybe they're, like just short term, there's more stable.
Their odds shot through the roof because you know what you're getting with Jimmy G. You get 74% winning percentage or 78%, which is one of the highest by any active quarterback in the NFL. So now you talk about going to a place in Denver where they were just booed because of how they performed against the Texans.
Yeah.
What are they going to do against this defense?
They're not even favored at home.
Right.
Yeah, Caesars has the Niners 1.5 point favorites. Now, it's not a lot, obviously, but you're on the road in Mile High and you're favored?
It can get ugly. And listen, we know last year how great this defense was, but they had Vic Fangio, and Vic Fangio held people accountable. Vic Fangio is from the old school. Yeah. That team was disciplined, and when you're supposed to be somewhere, you better be there or we'll put somebody else in and we'll bench you. I don't know if Hackett and this regime has the accountability. And if you got a coach that really is unsure of itself, it's like players are like sharks in the water. Like when they see a guy
smell blood.
They smell blood. They feel like he's soft and he's unsure about himself. So it's hard for him to hold you accountable because he's trying to figure out how to get a play in before the damn clock runs out. And he's just reeling. You know when somebody don't know or when they're green. And this guy looks super green no matter how long he's been in the NFL.
So you
gave him a lot of credit for stuff that he may not deserve credit for. LaFleur deserved credit. He reminds me a lot of the Bill Belichick tree, where Bill Belichick got more guys that was not ready to be head coaches' jobs just because they feel that he's with Bill Belichick, he should be a head coach.
And then when they took over, you could just see that they were not ready for this. Yeah,
yeah, Bill did a lot.
Yeah, he did so much, all the things that I can't even handle. It's a story to watch in Denver because if things do fall apart there, will anyone come to the defense of Russell Wilson? Wow, what a story.
Already.
Keep an eye on that. Yeah, already. All right. Speaking of already, we keep moving throughout the show because already it's time for audio files. One quarterback tells us to relax.
Again?
But it's not who you think.
A-Ron again?
No, it's not who you think. But first, Bart, tell us about Body Armor.
This football season. Body Armor is the choice for hard work and hydration. Whether you're running plays on the field or cheering on the home team, Body Armor keeps you atop of your game with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Buy any one Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 gift card from DraftKings. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor sports drinks. More than a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open a residence of U.S. 21 years or older.
2020.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The audio file.
All right, let's get into audio files. And I never really got to say it because this is like when the headline makers do the talking. Or what's the name of the segment?
Audio.
Got a little ahead of ourselves. But okay, that's fine. It's Barton.
Just remixing the program.
That's okay.
People wait for you to say that, man.
Russell Wilson's in charge, clearly. Mm. You know what I mean? Team of me, Roscoe Jenkins. Yep. Wouldn't that be funny? You do a little Roscoe Jenkins at Denver? Would they get the joke? Meanwhile, of course, let's get to Aaron Rodgers. But no, he's not the one that's talking about relaxing. He's talking about, on the Pat McAfee show, things that he sees that are similar to him from this year. to last year.
First week to have major overreactions and write teams off completely is always a mistake, and it keeps happening every single year in our business. You know, there's some similarities to last year. Get blown out in week one, play a division opponent week two, go on the road week three against an opponent that is going to be favored, and we're not expected to win. And we need a Herculean effort to go down there and get the dub.
You buying that?
I mean,
they're playing the Bucks. Yeah. They're
not
almost
really
a pick 'em. It's a one point.
Yeah, they ain't really
Bucks are
the Bucks.
Favored by a point.
They're not really playing the Bucks.
And right. So he's like, we're not favored to. What are you talking about? It's a freaking pick 'em.
Yeah,
they're playing
Tom Brady and whoever they can find to play receiver.
Yeah,
how about that?
Right, exactly.
They're not playing the
Cole
real
Beasley.
Time. Yeah.
So, are you buying it though? That it's the same, which means you know we're going to be fine.
It'll be 13-3. Is he saying they're going to be 13-3?
Or are you figuring that this is not the same as last year?
I don't think it's the same as last year.
You don't have Devontae Adams.
Yeah, history rarely repeats itself. What they're trying to do is figure out what their identity is for this year, and I feel like, you know, because they never play anybody in the preseason, they come off to these slow starts, and then they use the first four games as a barometer to figure out who they are this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is, like you said, they don't have Devontae Adams, and, you know, that guy erases a lot of things, a lot of mistakes, because his ability to dictate the coverages and also the defenses that you see. And also the fact that I believe, even though Minnesota got blew out by the Eagles, that, you know, they could sweep Green Bay as far as winning both contests. And I think that the Lions is scrappy enough to maybe win one as well. So, you know, they're going to be in a real live fight with Minnesota, I believe, to win this division. If they don't win this division, then they're going to be going on the road, and that's always a dangerous, dangerous place to be, especially when you think about if you don't, you're maybe going to Tampa or going to the Eagles, who's a physical outfit.
Yeah.
And we've been accustomed to the playoffs going through Lambeau and them losing at home.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what's back? The most scary thing, if Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears, then Jimmy G owns Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's right.
He's back.
The monster is back.
He's back. Say hello to my little friend, Debo.
Wow. Didn't even think about that until you brought that up.
Yeah.
Well, Rodgers is trying to just make everything, hey, everything's going to be fine. Look, this same thing happened last year, but will the result be the same? Meanwhile, in that division, let's stay there. Because while you mentioned, of course, that the Lions could might, you know, get a win and there's the Vikings, there's also the Bears. And, yeah, they are what they are, of course, right now. But Justin Fields, we talked about this yesterday, kind of said something after the game about a frustration that, you know, fans... It hurts more for players because fans don't put in the work like players do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you and I both said was like, I mean, yeah, you can understand that, right? Like, I want my players to feel losses. That's okay. But some fans took it personal and felt it was an attack on them and their passion. And of course, the poor kid had to clarify it.
You know, there was a thing that I said on Sunday after the game where I said, you know, the fans don't put in work. And when I was, first off, you know, I was frustrated after the game, so... You know, number one, I didn't want to come and talk to you guys. I wasn't in the mood to come and talk to you guys. So, you know, I should have did a better job explaining what I meant by that. But what I meant by that was I'm talking about work regarding the game on Sunday, winning the game. You know, I don't know any fans. I don't know what they're doing in their personal lives. And I respect every fan that we have. I'm, you know, glad that we have fans. So, you know, I would never disrespect, you know, anybody on what they do or what they love to do. And, you know, that was, you know, it came off like that. And, of course, you know, some social media outlets, they, you know, quoted my quote and, you know, they got a big buzz on it.
I would have told them, don't even bother.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you agree? Like, don't even bother.
You don't even have to explain yourself. I mean, he's saying... If you guys think you guys are disappointed at us, what do you think we are? How do you think we feel? We went to practice. We put a game plan in. We went out there and bashed our heads against people trying to get a victory. You think it don't matter to us? I think it matters to us a little bit more.
Yes.
Because we're out there physically paying the price. Like, that's understandable. He shouldn't have to explain that.
If you need to explain, like, here's what I want to know. 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you're a Bears fan or you're just a fan in general, and you heard what Justin Fields said and got offended by it, I need to know why.
Yeah.
I need you to explain to me why what he said would have been so rude to Bears fans. Because it's pretty much the truth. And it's okay. And I'd rather see you pissed off. Like, you know what? Him saying, I don't even want to come in here and talk to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I'd rather you be that way than come in all polished and fine after a loss. I don't want you fine after a loss. I want you angry.
Just one game. We'll be okay.
I want you punching the air. That's what I want. Meanwhile, we go to...
Yeah.
On to Cincinnati, Bart, as we continue with Audio Files, Bart and Hahn. Because Joe Burrow, channeling a little bit of his inner Aaron Rodgers.
Mm. Very comfortable. Those guys are working hard to get it right. I can do a lot more to help them, too, and we can do more with play calling to help them as well. So we're getting this thing right. Nobody's panicking. Myself, I mean, everyone is frustrated, but like I said, we're not panicking. Two games in, we got 15 games left. So I'll just take a deep breath and relax. Mm. We're going to be fine. We're not worried about it. We got great players, great coaches, understand our plan and know what we need to do to fix it. And two, we did it last year. We were in here talking about the same exact stuff, and everyone saw how it worked out. So, you know, we're focused on getting it right, getting better. But like I said, no panic. A lot of urgency, but no panic.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Did he not... only talk like him.
His rhythm, his cadence.
Everything. It sounded like him. This was like when Kobe used to talk and you thought it was Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Kobe used to sound just like Michael Jordan. He would even have his like tongue like roll under his... like he would talk just like Michael Jordan. Joe Burrow right there sounded just like Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. But are you buying it?
I don't know, man. It's still early and you think of within his division, AFC North, all teams lost. So they're technically only one game behind. They win one or two games.
Yeah, they're 0-2, right, which is an ugly 0-2. But
for me, it's them trying to adjust to the adjustment that the league has made with them and their offense, being able to put them in cover two and force them to kind of matriculate the ball down the field and take their time and be patient. And he's forcing the ball. He has 25 attempts to Jamar Chase. The team, the rest of the receivers as a whole, only has 63 targets. So, Jamar Chase has double the targets of the next receiver on their squad. He's trying to force the ball to him too much, much like,
he's getting stuck on his favorite receiver.
Much like Derek Carr is with Devontae Adams. Like, you have to go where the defense dictates the ball go to. You have to trust your teammates and be patient, because they're going to force you to be patient because they have two safeties deep, and they're forcing them to do that. The same thing they did to Patrick Mahomes last year, and they end up figuring it out by running screens, draws, and really featuring the running back in a light box with not a layer, but, whoever they had that replaced him last year. So,
well, the Bengals come to New York to play the Jets.
Yeah, I hope they don't figure it out this
and
week.
The Bengals are favorite on the road by 5.
Yeah.
Caesars has them as a 5-point favorite in this game as they are taking on a Jets team that made it a miraculous comeback. But they're 0-2, searching for a very important first win. And then you have also the memory of that. The Jets surprised them. Mike White surprising them.
Took over the world.
With a big upset win. So this, a very big game for Cincinnati and a very interesting game, of course, for the Jets. Speaking of Cincinnati, should everybody there relax? A Bengals great and Hall of Famer stops by with us to discuss. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
All right, it's Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Let's bring in a Hall of Famer here because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to Cincinnati, when it comes to that division. Certainly tonight, you've got that division head-to-head with the Browns and the Steelers, but where the Bengals are at 0-2 is a big surprise. And let's bring in some serious muscle, and that is Anthony Munoz, who joins us right now. Anthony, how are you doing?
Doing great, guys. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Let's start in Cincinnati with the Bengals, because I'm curious. There's a lot of criticism for a second year now about how many hits Joe Burrow is taking and that the offensive line isn't doing its job. That's the criticism. Is that fair criticism this year?
Well, I think anytime your quarterback gets hit, gets sacked as many times, it's a combination, mainly offensive line. Of course, you have the running back involved at times in pass blocking, tight end. But you know what? It's got to be tagged on the offensive line because they're the ones that their job is to protect them, and it hasn't been done, which is crazy because, that was the one area last year, which, as you mentioned, the last 2 years. Last year was the weakness. They addressed it by signing three pretty good linemen. But on the other hand, for those of us who played at Barton, you can bring in some of the best guys, but until you play together, especially the offensive line, you need five guys working together, and you have Jonah Williams joining four new guys. They don't take a snap in preseason. I know it's a different era, a different age with that that's happening. But I can't imagine for myself playing in the league 13 years and not taking a snap with my lineman in a regular game, you know, preseason game or going full speed. So how do you bring that cohesiveness, that, you know, that camaraderie on that offensive line together if you don't play together?
That's a great point. It is something. When you replace that many pieces in an offensive line and then you don't get live reps in the preseason, you jump it into the first couple of weeks, maybe this is to be expected then. Now, is it almost that? Like, you're like, I'm not surprised that they're having trouble because they really haven't had enough reps together to figure it out. Would you say that's the best way to put it?
Well, that's what I'm looking at. You know, let's take the first game, for instance, the Steelers game. The Steelers, their starters, from what I understand, all their starters played at least some in the preseason game. During practice, they were getting after it. Not that you have to pound the guys, you know, down and wear them out, but, you know, you got to do some stuff live. I mean, I remember when I was playing, it's a long time ago, but we had like a 10-minute blitz pickup drill where, you know, you had stunts with the defensive linemen, the linebackers were involved, just to see some stuff live. Again, it doesn't have to be 20, 30 minutes. But that's what I, you know, because I like Karras, I like Kappa, you know, Collins, and of course Jonah, and, you know, sure, they started a rookie at left guard, but you got some pretty good offensive linemen that have some good history, but it still takes time together to work together, and, you know, it's that's just part of that position. So that's what I'm looking at. Hopefully, as they work together, you know, here, move, hopefully this week, get some more reps together, it starts getting better.
Well, when I look at them as well, I think it's a stat out there where they are saying that Joe Burrow's getting the same amount of time as Patrick Mahomes. The issue is that he's burping, what we call burping the baby a little bit, and the ball isn't coming out on time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, maybe he's a victim of his own success, because when you look at the statistics, you know, they say that he's targeted Ja'Marr Chase 25 times and the rest of the team 63. And what's happening is their teams are playing him in cover two and not giving up the big play. So he's holding on to the ball, trying to get the big play instead of dumping it off to his tight ends and running backs, which is that's the way you beat cover two. You can't out throw coverage in cover two when you're doing that. But, you know, I wanted to ask you about, you know, in Cincinnati being able to handle success, because this team has always thrived in the underdog role, but now it's expected for them to be good.
And then they're hunted now.
And now they're hunted and they're getting every other team's best. How do you guard from that? Because when you look at the roster, this team should be better than it was last year. And they're falling short so far.
Yeah. I think to a certain extent you can look at that. And I think if you just kind of generalize and say the Cincinnati Bengals, this is a totally different team than 5 years ago, 4 years ago. I mean, in the time that Zach's been there, he's totally revamped this team. It's a different team than when he took over. The thing I say is these guys are young, but they're very confident. A lot of the guys had success in college, which we know is a lot different, you know, college going to the pros. But, and you make a great point. I want to go back to the Joe Burrow thing. I mean, you know, you look at last year's playoff run. I think it was Tennessee when they got sacked 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, 9 times people are thinking 9 times offensive line. But I was watching the game. I'd give 3-4 to Joe because he didn't get rid of the ball right away. So even in the playoffs last year, he had a tendency to hold on to it. And that you got a great point there. And, you know, you can't – I love the analogy that's being used, not burping the baby back, you've got to get rid of it. I mean, and if you got, I mean, you got a stud wide receiver, you got others that are really good too. And, you know, and Boyd and those guys, and you can't, you know, sure, Ja'Marr Chase had an unbelievable rookie year, but I mean, as you know, teams adjust.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the great thing about the league is teams are going to make adjustments, not only strategically, but also with personnel. So you've got to be able to, you know, utilize your stud, but also utilize the other guys. So, I think and having played the game, an offensive lineman, and I think, you know, really the blame goes to the whole unit. It's not just the 5 guys up front, but I agree with that. I think there's times where you got to just get rid of it, even if it's just throwing it away, you know, and not taking a sack. But, you know, as far as really not knowing how to handle the success or, you know, this is, to me, is a different group. I got to watch several more years because they do have a good mix of the guys that were there when Zach first got here and then, you know, rookie guys and younger guys. But, you know, from what I saw, the way they worked in the offseason and in camp, as much as you can, because, as you know, Bart, they don't hit anymore in camp. So it's hard to really, at least we don't, We've kind of taken, you know, Zach came from the Rams, and McVay is a don't play the guys in any of the preseason games, and you can't hit. So it's a different era now. So as far as I saw, I mean, the way they practiced and the enthusiasm and how much they enjoyed, it was almost like, man, they got to the Super Bowl, they lost, but they came back hungry again. So this has really been surprising the way they've started out.
Now, Anthony, you were tasked with protecting the franchise back in the day, the Golden Child, a.k.a. Norman. Most people know him as Boomer Esiason. When he was playing, he founded the Quarterbacks Club, right, mm-hmm. where the quarterbacks were going to go about negotiations and everything itself. And he was the president, and, you know, he did all that. You know, he tells me the stories about the guy who crashed the car when he was going to get the Popeye's chicken for you guys and everything like that. Right? So I know some of the dark secrets that happened in Cincinnati. But one thing I get from Boomer is that even though he was the president of the Quarterbacks Club and all that stuff, that he didn't separate himself from the group. Now, his stories in Denver that Russell Wilson has his own office, that he has his own team.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And yeah, I've never heard of that either. He has his own office, his own team, his own body guy. Our own Chad Brown told us this. And the reports coming out with, you fast forward to Richard Sherman's podcast saying how Russell never was held accountable and had a different set of rules than everybody else. So now you fast forward to like Denver getting off to a slow start, and we're trying to figure out, do we blame the head coach or do we blame the quarterback? Because he hasn't seemed to be able to like rally the troops and become one of the guys, even though we know the quarterback is the most famous person on the team.
Yep. You know what, Bart? I think both the head coach and the quarterback have to share the blame. I don't think you can tag it on one or the other because it is a team. You brought up Boomer. Boomer was amazing. He was one of the – I mean, I would still run through a wall for Boomer. That's what kind of a leader he was. I talk a lot about leadership when I go out and speak to groups, and I use Paul Brown, who was the owner of the Bengals, and what he brought to the NFL, and I use Boomer as an example. I think leaders have a tendency to be able to encourage but also hold guys accountable. They have to know how to connect with their team, and Boomer was the best in connecting, man. I could never imagine having my quarterback, Boomer, as great a quarterback he was, having his own office, having his own thing, because we were together. Boomer would finish his quarterback meeting, and we would finish our offensive line meeting, and we would wait in our meeting room because he would come in, sit at Coach McNally, who was our O-line coach's desk. He would grab and run the video, and we would sit there and run through the game plan, just the O-line and our quarterback, and he would call the play, make the call. We would call the calls. We would do that for about 40 minutes after our meetings were over. We would go to dinner every Thursday night as a group. You know, we exchanged presents at Christmas together. I can't imagine him having his own area in our practice facility. Plus, we didn't have enough room for his quarterback to have their own office in our facility back in the day. But, yeah, that's foreign to me. I can't imagine that he doesn't have anybody to hold him accountable. So, again, getting back to my point, I don't think it's does Russell Wilson deserve the criticism, the blame, or I think it's a combination. The head coach has to make sure that his team stays a team. And I understand the quarterback is the most important position, the most famous position. But you know what? Those five guys up front that nobody knows their name or number until the yellow flag comes out, those guys, Boomer understood the importance of the camaraderie and the togetherness of his position in the five offensive linemen.
And you know what? I mean, that's really what it's about. That's a perfect way to explain it. And a man that certainly everybody knew his name and numbers, Anthony Munoz.
Go!
And he joined us right here, the Hall of Famer. Hey, it's great stuff. Good to catch up with you again. All the best.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. Great talk with you anytime. All right, man. Have a great day.
You got it. I mean, what a story that was.
Before we go to break, I know we got to go to break right quick. I just want to say happy birthday to my auntie Nelwyn, who's sitting listening to the show with my mama. Mama Scott's listening.
Love it. Always listening. Happy birthday. We'll sing it for you during the break. All right. We have your calls coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number of lots to get. It was great talking with Munoz, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a goat.
That Boomer story was... he said he'd still run through a brick wall for him.
Yeah, Norman used to tell me a lot of stuff.
That says a lot. You know, like that's the whole point is you know, people that might want to think like it's no big deal. He has his own office. It does. It does matter because everybody else looks at you like,
yourself.
Are you?
You're already separated because you make more money than everybody. But now you want to separate yourself. What do you mean? You got you a office. Like you got the quarterback's room. Like how do you have your own office? You got your own locker.
Why would you want that?
Because he's got to run Russell Enterprises, the Good Man brand, and all that stuff. Like so, like how Munoz said he'll run.
By the way, that Good Man stuff.
Did you buy the shoes?
No.
You like it?
No.
Wacky D.
Yeah. Meh. Yeah, I wasn't. I didn't love it.
So you're saying Munoz, you know what I mean? You say Munoz would run through Rick Roth for Boomer. Sounds
marked,
like
marked
the
up
Legion
a little
of
too, but
yeah, sound like the Legion of Boom would throw Russell through a wall.
and you know what I mean? Look, there's a lot of things that you know you want to be. And who am I telling you? But I'm saying when you become a professional athlete, there's a lot of things you want to be. Yeah. Successful, obviously.
You want to be respected by your peers.
That's
loved by your peers.
Is
like anybody that's
isn't that the
played,
more, yeah. most valuable thing?
Anybody, it's hard pressed. Maybe one or two people that I tease too much from my playing days wouldn't say that I was one of a great teammate and wasn't a great person. And I invested in everybody that I played with. And it doesn't matter if you're an undrafted free agent, if you're a guy that's just coming by. I love people, and if we work together in team, I see you as family. And that's important, right? You know, Monday night at Barts was a real thing, right? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I paid for my teammates' training during the lockout for the guys that couldn't afford to pay for training. Like, that's important, man. Like, we spend more time with each other than we do with our families. It's things that team. It's things that teammates know about me that my family members don't know about because in certain instances, nobody can relate and understand how difficult it is to be a professional athlete and what we deal with outside of another athlete or somebody that's tried to do something like that. So, like, we confide in each other, man. If I can't trust you, if I think you have this air that you're better than me, I can't rock with you, man. And I'll work with you, but I can't rock with you.
And especially if you're in that position, you're somebody that, like, you want people to play for you, right? Yeah. Like, I always say leadership – You, of course, you need to be good and successful because I'll trust you.
Like, yo.
But shoot, there's also like, yo, something
shoot,
like, about.
Yo, shoot me up. My man playing, I'm playing. Shoot me up, dog.
Yeah.
Shoot me up. I'll deal with the injury later. Shoot me up. My man out there, he going, I'm going. I'm protecting my guy at all costs. Shoot me up, doc. I'll figure it out later.
There is something to be said about that. Like, leadership is also a bit like, is somebody that, you know, you are inspired to follow. And is Russell Wilson that guy in Denver? We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get Rex Ryan on the show in just a few minutes. He's going to join us top of the hour.
Run through a wall for that guy.
That's not, you know what? Speaking of run through a wall.
Bart, you only got one arm. I'll do it for you, coach.
Let's grab a call here real quick, right, though. Ray in the Bronx. What's up, Ray?
What's up, Alan? What's up, Bart?
What up?
I just have to say before I start, yesterday, Barstradamus, the pallbearer, like, stitches, bro. I was in stitches. I was one of the funniest. That was great radio.
Redemption! Redemption! Payback's a mother!
That, and then heard you, that was just amazing. I mean, you were spot on. Spot on. But, hey, Alan, look, you asked for a Chicago fan. I'm not a Chicago fan, but I could see objectively how a Chicago fan could be offended by Fields' comments.
Why?
Right? And you think, and I think this is why. It's obvious that fans can't go onto the field and play and they're not working out. They're not doing that, but they're not expected to. The fans are expected to tailgate, buy tickets, get pumped up, boo the other crowd, right? Yeah. It's their job to make sure, like, the opposition can't hit.
Right. Did we lose?
We rate fan base based on fandom. Let me say, well, Chicago has a great fan, always had.
Yeah.
So in a sense, kind of, again, I didn't take offense to it because I could care.
Yeah, but I'll say, Ray, we're losing your signal a little bit, so you're just breaking up. But I definitely get the gist of what you're saying. So let me just take it from here. Is that if you are exactly what Ray said, the fan that is so into your team, you tailgate, you buy tickets, you're there, you invest your day. In fact, some fans invest their whole week. I know, week to week.
Yeah.
You're in NFL season. I mean, you're every day, you're reading the podcast, like you're listening to podcasts, you're reading all the different websites, you're listening, following your team. You got all your alerts.
Jets pre-impulse.
If you're a Jets fan, of course, you're watching that. Why are you winking at the camera?
I don't know.
You got something in your eye? Mm. But you know, like you have all that going on. And I just feel like that is your investment, yes. But the idea that a player says that we feel it
more
than you do when we lose?
We should.
I want that. Because, yeah, I'm mad, but it's like part of my life. It's not my life. It's your life.
Yeah.
I'd rather see you that mad. I'd rather you tell me it hurts me more than it hurts you, and I want to believe it. Because the problem is a lot of athletes kind of look like it doesn't bother them, and that pisses me off as a fan.
Like,
don't let me be more invested than you.
Payday's Tuesday. I'm a good.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, after a loss on Sunday, I'll feel better on
Tuesday. Yeah. Like, you know, we play hard, and you know, sometimes don't go your way. Like,
I've always said that. Don't let these losses hurt me more than they hurt you. Is that's the last place you want to be. I want to hear what Justin Fields said,
unless
and I'm
you got
glad.
Knocked out of your fantasy pool.
He did. Let's talk to Rex Ryan. You know every L hurt him bad.
Bart and Han.